And at this time, we're going to introduce Paul Ramo. Everybody knows him, so I don't have to do anything too grand. But just admired Paul because when Pastor Eric needed someone to do the sermon, he said, "Hey, I got a sermon in my Bible." So he was ready for the call. So let's welcome Paul this morning.
Thanks, Dan. I told Dan, you better sit in the back today because I'm going to talk about him. Before we begin, just want to share a few things quickly. This morning when I came to church, you know, found out Wednesday about giving the message, and before I came to church, we were sitting here, I was sitting with Dan and Tammy, and it's amazing how God puts things together. They don't know what I was going to talk about, didn't know what we were going to sing about, but Dan's scriptures that you saw up there is what I've been preparing this week. And the song that Tammy's picked for And is what I'm going to be speaking about. And isn't that great? That's awesome. It's the Holy Spirit. You know, and Dan and I had a chuckle before service here when he asked if I was nervous. I said, oh, a little bit, but not much. But, you know, he reminded me of a funny story Billy Graham told. When Billy Graham preached his first message, he was so nervous he actually planned 3 sermons during his first message, and he burnt all 3 of them sermons up in 10 minutes, he said. That's not going to happen today, see? So. The title of the sermon is, What's Your Friendship with God Like? What's Your Friendship with God Like? A few months ago, or maybe a month ago, Pastor Eric played a video that really impacted me, and it impacted a lot of you, and it's actually... When I told Pastor Eric Wednesday, I have a sermon in my Bible that I just have handy. And I've tweaked it quite a bit. But that video that he showed, it's about this, about creating a friendship with God. And we're going to watch this video again. If you weren't here, it's the first time you'll see it. It's Pastor Bill Heibel. And it's 9 minutes long. And then after the video, then we'll listen to my hour and a half message.
Advertising executive came down to talk to me after a service, and he had just become a Christian. I had baptized him at the church, and so, and he said, I just can't make time for a meeting with God. He said, you have no idea what it's like to commute downtown every day, and you live in a different world. I just can't fit that kind of thing into my life. And I remember looking at this young guy, hard-charging young guy, and I said, here's my experience, and I'm not, you know, I'm only like 24 years old, so there it is. I said, I've always been able to make time for stuff I value. Just how my life works. If I value something, I'll make time to experience it. If I don't, I won't. And I'm making time for a meeting with God in my life. You do it any way you want. And he wasn't too happy with me that day, I don't think, and I didn't see him for a while, and then afterwards, I saw him many months later, and when he came down to talk to me, his countenance was different. He felt different, and his conversation was different, and he and his wife invited Lynn and me to go over to their house for dinner. So we accepted. He lived right in the area, and so we go over to their house, and as we're kind of just having some appetizers beforehand, he takes me over to a rocking chair. And he says, you know how you challenged me to have a meeting with God and to make the time? He said, I love rocking chairs, so I bought a good one. And you said that maybe if you're going to make this repeatable and enjoyable, you should look at some scene or vista that you enjoy looking at. And he said, I've got a little backyard here, and I love looking over the backyard. So he said, I just bought this chair, and I put it at my favorite window where I can overlook the backyard. And he said, I got up a half hour earlier, 15, 20 minutes, half hour earlier each day, the last several months. I sit in the chair, I have a cup of coffee, and he goes, I read God's word, I try to make sense of it, I ask him to speak to me by his word, then I meditate on it, reflect it, apply it to my life, then he said, I write some thoughts down in a journal and I pray. I pray that I will be more aware of his presence in my life. And I said, how's that going for you? And his wife jumped in and said, I'll tell you how it's going for him. He's a changed guy. What happens to him when he sits in that chair has changed him. He's more centered. He's a more gentle and loving man in our marriage and to our children. I was very impressed with this, that he could show me his chair, that he had taken the time, that he had fashioned a meeting with God that he looked forward to, because he liked the chair, he liked the view, he liked the coffee, he was a morning guy, and he fell into this pattern. Many months later, I had coffee with him one time, and he said, I'm thinking about leaving my job in advertising. He said, I think I'm done with that. I said, where'd you get these ideas? And he said, well, in my meetings with God in the chair. He's been putting those thoughts in my mind. I said, what are you going to do? And he said, maybe I'll just help you build the church. I said, well, no one's getting paid around here, you know. And he said, well, I've done pretty well in advertising. I can hold on for a while, and maybe if the church grows, you know, then maybe they can help me and my family in some way. And I said, well, you better go back to that chair and see if God's really in this, because I don't want to take responsibility for your life and all this. And he said, okay, I will, and came back about a month later, and he said, you know, I gave notice at work, and if it's all the same to you, I'm just going to help you start building the church. You pay me what you can, but it's not a concern of mine. And this guy joined our staff, and I'm telling you, he was a hardworking, energized, joyful, industrious individual that really, really helped our church and was on our staff for many, many years. One of the best staff members in the early days of the church. Then one day he comes into my office and he said, you know, I still do that meeting with God in that chair, that rocking chair. And he said, God's been stirring in my life in my meetings with God. And he said, a friend of mine's starting a brand new church in Colorado, and I think I'm going to pack my family up and move to Colorado. I said, can they support you? He said, no, I'm going to have to go back into the marketplace and make some money because they can't afford anything. And I said, are you ready to do that? And he said, you know, every morning I talk to God about it. And he said, I'm really fired up about it. So we said goodbye to him, and he packed his family up, and he went out, and he went back into advertising, made a lot of money, and gave most of it to the startup church. And it became a fantastic church. And then in that same chair that he moved out to Colorado, sitting at a window in the morning like he had done for many, many years now, he processed a bad medical report he got from the doctor that cancer had come his way. And he kept working, and he kept supporting that church. And he got sicker and sicker. It was a very fast-spreading kind of cancer. And then he was hospitalized. And one of the great losses he felt when he was in the hospital is that he didn't have his chair. And he died quite soon thereafter, and I did his funeral in Colorado. And I was talking to his widow, his wife, at the funeral reception afterwards. I said, that was something about that chair, wasn't it? She said, his whole life changed in that chair. I said, what are you going to do with the chair? And she said, we are going to pass that chair on to our children and on to our grandchildren in the hopes that someone would sit in it like Tom did and have their life transformed. Simple question, gang. Where's your chair? Where do you meet with God? Where do you reflect on his word and open yourself to his power? Where do you become aware of his presence in your life? Where is that? And some of you go, well, you know, I mean, I don't have a nice backyard to look out on. It doesn't work for me. The thing about the unlimited presence of God is that you can meet with him anywhere. Your chair can be anywhere. When we first started, Lynn and I first started taking our summer study breaks in South Haven, that little town on the other side, we rented a one-bedroom cottage in the summer times. And so it was chaos with two kids in that cottage. So I would leave and I would go to the Burger King in the morning for 30, 40, 45 minutes, sometimes an hour. First booth on the right when you come in the door, Main Street in South Haven. I did that little practice for 9 years. Fiberglass booth in a Burger King. I made some of the most important ministry and personal decisions in my life. Fiberglass booth in a Burger King. To this day, when I drive by that Burger King, I look at it and I go, man, God met me there. There's a carpenter in this church that meets with God every morning in the front seat of his pickup truck, brings a thermos of coffee and his Bible. Half hour before the construction starts, he just sits in the front seat of his pickup truck, absorbs the word of God, meets with God, surrenders himself with God, to God, asks for direction in his life. A young mom that I know goes to Starbucks whenever she can. Corner table, meets with God. Where's your chair? When you meet with a friend, let's say for a lunch, what happens is if you've connected with that friend, after you leave the restaurant or wherever it is, you think about that friend later on in the afternoon. When you meet with God, you think about him more throughout the course of your day. His presence lingers after the meeting. Where's your chair?
When you're in that chair, you develop a friendship with God. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, your friendship with God. What's friendship? Here's the description of friendship. A World Happiness Database study. Isn't that kind of neat? There's a World Happiness Database. Did you know that? Found that people with close friendships are much happier. Although there are many forms of friendship, some of which may vary from place to place, certain characteristics are present in many types of friendship. Such characteristics include affection, sympathy, empathy, honesty, enjoyment of each other's company, a trust, the ability to be oneself, express one's feelings, and make mistakes without fear of judgment from the friend. While there is no practical limit on what types of people can form a friendship, friends tend to share common backgrounds, occupations, or interests. And I was in Wikipedia just one time. And really, just one time. And I was amazed at how different friendships are in different countries. Like Chinese, they're best friends. It's kind of different than America. There's a tribe in South America that they kind of have a blood brother type thing going on, and they actually, families move in. If you're best friend, you move in together. And thank God I live in the United States. So, thank you, Lord, for that. Before we get into some scripture here, I want to do an analogy of developing a friendship with people here on earth and developing your friendship with God. Same characteristics. And I want to describe my friendship with Dan Tuckett. I told him to sit in the back, so. All of you here are my friends. We're all at different levels. You have your different level friends too, right? You have acquaintances, Facebook friends. Don't you just love Facebook friends when they ask, do you want to be my friend? I love the discussion where some people are really picky about that. You know, if I don't say hi to them on the street, they're not going to be my friend. I'll be friend with anybody. If you know, just click on me and I'll be friend. Be your friend. There's Facebook friends. There's acquaintances. And then there's close friends. And then there's really close friends. And so you're all my friends, all at different levels. But Dan and I have developed a friendship over the years. And they've been special. And I said I wasn't going to cry. But the last 2 months, I've developed a really good friendship with the newspaper editor in Minnesota. His name's Byron, an older gentleman, and We have developed such a friendship. And usually newspaper guys and radio guys don't get along very well, but we get along great. And when I take him out for lunch, Byron is a man of God. And we talk about things of that, you know, the Bible and stuff. And when I take him out for lunch, he knows I'm paying. So he'll scan the restaurant, and he'll look for somebody that he knows that's hurting. And he'll invite him over to our table. And you know, he knows Paul's pain, so, hey, come on over. And it's been some of the best lunches I've had with people, just to share with. One time a guy, his wife had cancer, and she was dying, and so it was great fellowship there. Isn't that a neat thing to do? And so I've developed this friendship with Byron, and a couple weeks ago, Lac Parle Valley football team was in Mineota playing Mineota, and after the game, Byron and I were on the football field. He was doing his work with the newspaper, and we started talking, and Dan comes walking by. And I said, Byron, I said, I want to introduce you to my best friend, Dan Tuckett. And I was going to continue to talk, and they were shaking hands, and I said, I looked at Dan, I said, you're my best friend, right? And he looks at me with this look on his face, go, well, I suppose, okay. And Byron, we had a good laugh at that. But I don't know why I did that. But we have the same interests. We like football. We like sports. We like food. We like to cook food. We share with each other. Personal stuff. He's my accountable partner. We've been in many Bible studies together over the years. And he asked me the hard questions as a man. And I ask him the hard questions to keep us on that path. That's what a friend is. We've had great memories together. As you know, I cover sports for the radio station. I covered the state cross-country meet at St. Olaf College in Northfield, and I love that. It's just a spectacular event. The best runners in the state are there, and the families and friends, and it's different colors as they run in the fall. It's held in October. And the meet was in the morning, and in the afternoon, Josh Ockery, who was at that time a quarterback for Bethel, he was going to play his game in the afternoon at Arden Hills in the city, so I asked Dan to come with. I got him a media pass. We got to be at the finish line inside with the TV camera people and stuff, and we watched these kids come across the finish line, giving it their all at the state. And it was very moving for both of us, and we discussed that a lot, how committed these kids are at that level, and it was just a good experience. And it's good memories to have like that. So the meet got over within the morning. We jumped in my car, and we had to drive from Northfield, Minnesota, to Arden Hills in the city. It was about an hour and a half drive. And we swung through McDonald's to get lunch quick through the drive-thru. Who listens to KTIS when you're in the cities? Okay? Great Christian radio station. We had that on. And they were doing a drive-thru. They still do it, I guess. It's called drive-thru. You pay for the person behind you. You ever hear that? Well, that's never happened to me. And we pulled into McDonald's and we ordered. We went up to the first window to pay, then you go to the second window to pick up your food. And we get up to the window and the kid opens the door. The lady in front of you there, she just paid for both of your meals. And Dan and I look at each other and go, what? What's this? Why would she do that? And the kid leaned over to him. The lady in front of you paid for your meals. And we had to make a quick decision, so Dan and I talked quick. Well, what do we do? I don't know, what do we do? Well, should we thank her? How do we get out and thank her? What do we do? And then I said to Dan, I said, well, do we pay for the people behind us then? And so Dan and I turned around, looked behind us, and here's a van. I mean, full of people. And Dan and I, we feel so guilty. And so we didn't pay for the people behind us. That would have been a $40 bill. But we did think. We honked our horn, and the lady looked in her rear mirror, and both Dan and I smiled and waved at her as she drove off. She paid for our meal. We should pay for a meal next time someone's behind us. But we do feel guilty about that. I don't know why we did that. But we were in a hurry. You know, that's what great friendships are, aren't they? You can laugh like that and just be yourself. And that's what Dan's meant to me. So thank you, Dan, for being one of my best friends. It's the same way with your spouse if you're married. And I've said this before. Guys, if you're with your wife and someone asks who's your best friend, the right answer is your wife. Okay, good. Just wanted to make sure. You know, while preparing the sermon here, I was saying, well, who am I talking to? And I was thinking, you know, there's three, four groups maybe. There's a group that's in their chair every morning that spends a lot of time with God, that has a close relationship with the Lord and a great friendship. And then there's people that maybe do it once in a while, or miss once in a while, and I'm including myself in some of this here. And then there's people that probably don't develop a friendship with God, that don't have a chair, or don't do devotions or spend time with God. You know, we're all different. But this morning, I just want to encourage you, where's your chair, as Bill Hybels said? Are you developing a friendship of God with God? Bill Hybels says, where's your chair? It's so important, and as the older I get, it's so important to meet with God every day. Every day. Let's see what God has to say about friendship with him, and he has a lot to say about it. Proverbs 3, verse 32, from the New Living Translation. God offers his friendship to the godly. Matthew 11, 19. Jesus, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. A friend. The Bible says Jesus is a friend of tax collectors and sinners. For a more deeper and intimate connection with God, how do you do that? Well, you go to him. You run to him. You find that chair and you stay in it for a more deep and intimate connection with God. I love this verse. It's one of my favorite verses when I was saved. I studied this verse a lot. James 4, 8. It says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Think about that for a minute. Some versions say, draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. You have a part to do. Isn't that neat? You know, we talked about trust in our relationships, in our friendships. And we need to trust God when he asks us to do something. Now we're going to talk about the obedience part of it. Being faithful, being obedient when we're friends. John 15, 14 says, Jesus said, you are my friends if you do what I command. You are my friends, Jesus says. 1 Samuel 15, 22 says this, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings? Pastor Eric had this verse a couple weeks ago. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? And the answer is to obey. To obey is better than sacrifice. I heard an evangelist say the other day, the more you fall, I do little notes to myself. You know, I'm on the road about every day, so I keep track of my mileage. Well, in my mileage book, when I'm listening to Praise FM, I always jot down notes. So between my miles, there's a note. There's a Bible verse or some neat thing. The more you fall in love with Jesus, the more you are going to be compelled to do what he tells you to do, whether it is comfortable or not. The more you fall in love with Jesus, the more you are going to be compelled to do what he tells you to do, whether it is comfortable or not. Do you know, do you ever think about this? Jesus had his chair. Did you know that? I studied that a little bit the other night. Jesus had his chair. Maybe it was a place on the Sea of Galilee. Use your imagination a little bit. On the Sea of Galilee. Maybe he had a favorite place on the beach there. Or he went into the mountains to pray. Early in the morning, it says he got up and went off by himself to develop a relationship with his Father. So Jesus is our example as a person who was obedient and he pleased God. Matthew 3:17 says, and a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. Jesus spent time alone with his Father. A good example. To be a friend of God, you also need to learn to care about what he cares about. Have you ever thought of that? Paul, the Apostle Paul is a good example of this, I think. And, you know, God's agenda, if you look at it, God's agenda was Paul's agenda. God's passions that he had was Paul's passions. And you can read that in his books. How about you? Is your agenda God's agenda? What's your passions? Is it the same as God's? I wrote that a little bit driving down the road. It's a little squibbly, but when sitting in your chair, as Bill Hybels says, when sitting in your chair, your friendship with God, you will also develop, when you do this, a desire comes over you. And I've experienced this. You have a desire for more friendship with God than anything else. When you love someone, think about someone you love, you want to spend as much time with them as you can, right? Do you? When Roxy and I were dating and a long time ago, man, we wanted to spend a lot of time together. I told her, she goes, "You're not going to embarrass me." I said, "No, I won't embarrass you." So that's it. I'll end it right there. But we had a desire just to spend time with each other. And God desires that too. He wants to spend time with you. David says in Psalm 27:4, these are some different versions of the Bible that I'm taking out of here. I love this. So David said, and Dan had this up on the screen this morning too during worship songs. "The thing I seek most of all is the privilege of meditating in God's temple, living in his presence every day of my life, delighting in his incomparable perfections and glory." Just study that for a second. Read that. Philippians 3:10 in the Amplified Bible says this, "For my determined purpose," Paul says, "is that I may know Christ, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly." That's a powerful statement, isn't it? Very powerful statement. My determined purpose. What's my determined purpose? Is it to know Christ more? Jeremiah 19:13, the Message says this. The Lord says to the Israelites, "When you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed." Think about that. You won't be disappointed if you spend time with God. Some of you say, "Well, Paul, I don't have that desire. I don't feel that desire." You know, I felt like that once too, and I heard an evangelist many years ago, do what I did. A number of years ago, I felt like that. Why do some people have a passion for the Lord so much and I don't? And that really bothered me. So I got on my knees one night and I asked God for that desire. And I kept asking and I kept asking and I kept asking. I kept spending time in his word. A lot of time in his word, and that desire came, that love that my friends were talking about, that love came. Am I making sense? That love came. I had that desire, and I couldn't wait to get up in the morning and go to my chair. I couldn't wait. And I thank God that it's like that today. That was a while back. And here's another note I took down. This is how God prepares your messages. This happened this week, a message on Praise FM. Someone said on Praise FM, you can't read God's word and stay the same. That's not my words. That's an evangelist on Praise FM this week. You can't read God's word and stay the same. I'm not a book reader. I'm really not. But I've read a few books in my life. And I'm man enough to mention this. I read the Little House on the Prairie series. Thank you. I read the whole Little House on the Prairie series books a while back. You know, I teared up. Laura Ingalls Wilder, you know, Little House on the Prairie TV show. But this is the book. I teared up. It moved me, but it didn't change me. It really didn't. The only book that can change you is this one here. Please don't tell anyone I read the Little House on the Prairie books. You know how I'm obsessed I'm with that? Roxy and I couldn't decide where to go for a vacation, so let's go to Pepin, Wisconsin. That's where Laura Ingalls Wilder was born. So we drove. I mean, we were in the boonies in Wisconsin this a couple months ago, and it was just a little cabin. That's all it is, and a little plaque. Laura Ingalls Wilder was born here. We drove like 40 minutes out of Pepin. Anyway. So I'm going to end with this. Are you hungry for more of God? I've read this before. I tape some really nice devotions that means a lot to me. I tape them in my Bible, and I've had this one in my Bible for a long time. I think you've heard it before. Are you hungry for more of God? And think about Bill Hybel in a chair when I read this. When we are hungry, we make a great effort to get food. Now think about this. Don't we? We make a great effort to get food when we're hungry. We think about food. We talk about food. We go to the store to purchase food, and we carefully prepare it. I believe that if we are hungry for more of God in our lives, we should behave the same way. God said that we should seek Him with our whole heart, diligently, with enthusiasm, zeal, and all seriousness. We spend a lot of time each week on natural food. How much time do we spend on spiritual food? This person estimated that most of us spend a minimum of 14 hours a week seeking, preparing, and eating natural food. We must honestly ask ourselves how much time we spend seeking God and learning about Him. How close we are to God depends on how much time we are willing to put into developing our relationship with Him. Time is valuable to all of us, and we should use it on the things that are most important to us. You can waste your time or invest your time. It is your choice. What we waste, we lose, but what we invest, we get back with dividends. I strongly recommend that you spend at least as much time seeking God as you spend seeking natural food, and you will soon be filled with wisdom and presence. You will find a satisfaction like you have never known as He fills your soul with Himself. Only God fills the hungry soul, so give Him priority in your schedule. So find a chair, and if you have a chair, spend more time with it. And meet God with God daily, and develop that friendship with God. Billy Graham says there is nothing, absolutely nothing more important than sitting in that chair and developing a friendship with God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 21 in the Living Bible says this. Paul tells Timothy, some of these people have missed the most important thing in life. They don't know God. So I encourage you to get in that chair every day and get to know God more and to develop that friendship. God says you won't be disappointed. As Tammy comes forward here, just ask everybody to bow their heads. In a silent prayer of commitment, that you'll get in the chair, find a place, wherever that is. Bill said it doesn't have to be a chair, it can be on a lakeside, it can be in your pickup, it can be at Burger King. But to develop that friendship with God, draw closer to Him, and He'll draw closer to you. Let's just pray silently and ask God to do that in your lives. As we end our service. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for meeting us wherever we're at. Help us to develop a closer walk with you, Lord. We love you, Father, and we thank you for what you do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.